There are ripples in the fabric of space. Time. So be my Valentine. Oh, that was so sweet. I thought, boy, they're going to think I'm pretty sweet for coming up with a space-time Valentine rhyme. What do you know?
Not much, you.
Welcome to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know? We translate some fun with comedian Eugene Merman. Plus, we tat up another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's thinking Mars trip just for the climate, Michael Feldman.
That'll be better. Well, there is a gravity wave advisory in effect till Sunday morning, so you'll want to stay indoors. I got really excited when I heard about this whole thing, you know, I thought they said gravy waves. I don't know why it's not even a sentence, really. Gravy waves is not even a concept. Wavy gravy is a little bit different. That's possible. Gravy waves. Gravy wave has struck the earth. When I see gravity, I read gravy. It's a little thing I got. Anyway, proves that Einstein was right, like he needs to hear that again. Confirmation of gravity waves finally explains Einstein's hair, ladies and gentlemen. Those are gravity waves. You got a gravity wave. It looks good on him. So a burst of gravitational waves arrives after 1.3 billion years. Only one question: where the heck have you been? Gravity waves. Gravity waves hitting the Earth with 30 times the mass of the sun at the speed of light explosion have got nothing on Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. Let's put things in perspective. Okay, butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazon, and Jim Gilmore drops out of the Republican race. Or Democratic race. I don't know what race he was in, to tell you the truth. He was running for one of those. And that same butterfly wakes Ben Carson out of a sound sleep. Little known fact that Ben Carson wears his mask over his eyes when he operates. That's just Dr. Carson there. You don't have to worry about him. Brain surgeon, too. That's a good thing. All right, let's see then. At the Hillary-Bernie debate in Milwaukee, both candidates struggle with the bubbler question. Sanders is considered the winner because he did not wear yellow. Electric banana yellow. Let's see, after Trump calls Cruz what that lady said, thousands of New Hampshire ladies agree. Okay, never mind. The lady and the Trump. Call that one. Thank you. All right, that you like. I never know with you people. You know, this, and then suddenly, you know, okay. You're with me, you're not with me, you're with me. I don't care. Don't toy with me. That's all I ask. Lady and Trump. Okay, Marco Rubio tells his boys, 8 and 10, that the bleeped Trump reference was another name for a cat. So now the kids think it's fair to call someone a Grimalkin. See, if you knew that was another name for a cat, you'd find that most amusing. Grimalkin. Okay, never mind. Ruby had more trouble explaining how he was the pretty face in a porn star's endorsement. It's complicated, kids. In Mexico, someone steals the rims off the Pope Mobile. Should be easy to find the guy around town, no? Another look at the Super Bowl 50 tape shows that the North Korean satellite passed directly over Cam Newton just as he was considering what to do about the game-losing fumble. Anyone would look up at that. Turns out Kim Jong-un's money was on the Broncos, ladies and gentlemen. Explains so much, and yet so little. Kim Jong-un executes another uncle to clear up the seating problem at the reunion. One hallelujah and some pot, and the last ranch hand is out of the Oregon compound. Huge pile of bean cans left behind in Oregon. reveals it was one long Blazing Saddles, ladies and gentlemen. Global slide in stocks, seen as boon for those of us who didn't want to retire anyway. Converted my SEP IRA into a SUC IRA. S-U-C. Scientists at Johns Hopkins create mini brains in the lab that could be ready for the 2020 Republican convention. Kanye West says Cliff Huxtable could never have done all those things. That's the Bill Cosby he knows. And finally, and I mean that, a study shows that 46% of women everywhere, that's a good figure, 46% of women everywhere are disappointed when they receive flowers for Valentine's Day. 59% are humiliated receiving anything from Victoria's Secret. And 100% are PO'd to receive Kohl's cash for Valentine's Day. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And hang on to your Kohl's cash. It's worth money. The governor uses it. Oh, yeah. Yes, Governor Walker actually owes $1 million from his campaign, but it's all in Kohl's cash, so he's in business. Eugene Merman is a brilliant fellow who's also a comic fellow. And you know him probably from Bob's Burgers. He's one of those guys in Bob's Burgers. We'll find out which one in just a moment here. He's talking to us from Saratoga Springs, New York, and I don't know why that would be, but we'll find out. Saratoga Springs, are you here?
Yeah.
Yes? Where? Where? Yes? Who? Where? You're from there?
I used to live there.
Huh?
Used to live there.
He used to live there?
Yeah.
And you did as well? Did you live there as well? In Saratoga Springs? Would he know you if I mentioned your name?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What is your name then? What's your name?
Jan.
Jan what?
Perrin.
John Perrin?
Jan Perrin.
Eugene Merman?
Hello.
Hi. Do you know Jan Perrin? Perrin?
I don't believe so, do I?
From Saratoga Springs?
Oh, I'm just here because I performed at Skidmore last night. I'm not from Saratoga Springs.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so you wouldn't know her then. She claimed you did.
Oh, she's not necessarily wrong, but I don't know her because she's from Saratoga Springs.
Not for that reason. Would you know her for some other? Would you know her for some other reason than the fact that you're from there?
For my outstanding personality.
No, that couldn't be it.
I don't know everyone with an outstanding personality. I just know a handful of people with outstanding personalities.
Yeah. Outstanding. Bills, yes. That's a different thing. How did it go last night?
Good. It was fun.
Yeah. What killed them in Saratoga Springs?
You know, the usual jokes.
That's all you're going to give me?
It's a roundabout way of you saying, tell me a joke, so I think yes.
You can if you'd like to. Could you tell me?
No, I wouldn't. I'd rather keep it a mystery.
Okay. I'm Sorry, Your Welcome is out now. This is like an 8-volume CD.
Yeah. I mean, other than it's not on CD, but it's digital and vinyl.
It's digital and vinyl.
And it's available as a chair and a robe.
As a what?
That's right.
Chair and a robe?
Okay. Yeah, the chair is sold out, but the robe is still available.
I'm Sorry, You're Welcome. 8 volumes. War and Peace was only 3 in an epilogue, as I recall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really the conclusion of War and Peace.
Yeah. So you're saying it's War and Peace, War and Peace, War and Peace, basically. Or War
in
End.
In a sense, yeah.
War End at that point.
War and Peace and I'm Sorry, You're Welcome.
I'm Sorry, You're Welcome. Does that reflect your philosophy in general?
It does about a 9-volume set.
Well, you know, it's not disappointing because it's 8 volumes as I counted. But anyhow, seven of them are actually sound effects that you make.
Well, yeah.
There's only one volume of content, and it's so
far. Well, no, there's 1 volume of stand-up, 1 of sound effects. There's 45 minutes of crying. There's a whole lot of stuff.
I know, but that's what it is. All the 7 are all a whole lot of stuff, but there's only one volume, that first one of a show you did.
Of stand-up, yeah.
Of stand-up you did in Seattle, I guess, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it must have been a good night in Seattle anyway.
The night in Seattle was a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Three nights blended together seamlessly.
Oh, I see. What did they like in Seattle? What killed them in Seattle?
Same stuff that worked at Saratoga.
Same as Saratoga Springs, yeah.
A lot, yeah. Jokes that involve, you know, just a mirror to our society.
Yeah. Is that what you provide?
In pieces.
Yeah. It's a fun house mirror with you. And also in Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
You play, I'm sorry, who was that in Bob's Burgers that you play?
Gene
Belcher, is that right?
Yeah.
Gene Belcher, yeah. Is the Belcher due to the fact that he also makes a lot of sound effects? All the sound effects come out of you, right?
On the album, yeah. On the show, I think they sometimes add sound effects to mimic a sound effect voice machine.
Yeah, but you are almost a human sound effect machine in a lot of senses.
On the album, I am. I mean, it isn't the best. You can use it to do Foley with, but it'll sound like a person making weird sounds.
Yeah, that's exactly, and that's a unique concept, really, for a comedy album.
Yeah.
Someone who does not so good, vocalizations of sound effects.
Yeah, but there's also a meditation. There's a whole lot of stuff.
And the crying is very realistic. Is that something you pride yourself in? Or?
I cried for 45 minutes and recorded it.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to buy an album with a sticker that says featuring over 45 minutes of crying?
I know. Can we play a little clip from if you wouldn't mind? This is just the best of Belcher on Bob's Burgers. It's just some idea of what we're talking about here. Best of Bob's
It does Burgers. Robot voice, laser sound, and fart noise. Why do I have to get molested? No, that's a myth. You have no idea what I've just been through. Do I have any toilet paper stuck to my buns?
Oh, God.
You did!
I'm on it!
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't believe it.
Dad, it's Gene.
Yes, Gene, go ahead.
Dad?
Yes?
I think we have a bad connection. I'll call you back.
Oh, God.
You're a couple of sluts!
Gene.
What?
Stop.
So far, I just got the title. History. A blast from the past.
Okay. After we get my parents settled, your father's gonna help you with that, right, Bob?
Have it on my desk by 5. Do you see a lion or a witch or a wardrobe?
A what?
A lion, a witch, or a wardrobe!
Why are you saying that, Gene?
It's a book.
Oh, right. A kid's book, yeah.
Yeah, by Salman Rushdie.
It's not by Salman Rushdie.
Of course it is.
It isn't.
Yes, it is.
I'm not gonna talk to you anymore, Gene. I'm in a wall. Go look it up, though.
I just did. It's Salman Rushdie. My grandparents are staying with us, and they were both alive during Prohibition. So, this is what it sounds like when they have sex in the room next to mine.
Ow! 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 Ow!
What?
Ow!
Principal's office now!
Ow! Ow!
Right!
Well, I have a room to refart.
Okay, let's end it on that. We didn't know which one to end that on, but there was... That's just volume one of the best of. Now, some of those were you, clearly you, I think.
The voice parts for me, anything that sounds like a laser was someone using a sound effect of a laser.
Yeah, that I got. I know.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good. You know what I... That on the album here, actually, when you talked about the Whole Foods and the pictures thing, because they were going to open up Whole Foods to art displays and such?
Yes, they opened a Whole Foods near my house where they were going to have a lot of local artists displaying art, so I decided that I would make art to feature at Whole Foods. But it's hard to get your artwork in Whole Foods, it turns out.
It is?
It turns out it is. It is. Yeah, I think that they have art events, but they don't really display people's art next to the broccoli.
Well, they don't. That's disappointing, actually.
I know. You're disappointed. Think about me. I bothered to make paintings.
Yes. And, you know, I saw this on some, you know, like, you know, the best comedians of 1990 or something like that. And you did this thing with art, with paintings. And they were good.
Thank you.
They were like Kandinsky meets Grandma Moses. They're kind of primitive.
Yeah. No, I have my own unique style that's going to really change the landscape of paintings.
Yeah. And... I mean, are you an artist? Do you paint? Do you, when you're not doing this?
I mean, the literal answer is yes.
Yes.
But the figurative answer would be not really.
Okay. This is going well, don't you think?
I think so.
If you guys characterize it. I also, and you know, I'm wondering, I have your live subscriber count here on, for some reason, on Social Blade YouTube, which is 3,337. That's pretty good, I think.
Sure. Well,
do you keep tabs of this? Is this, it's not, you don't make a living at this, do you?
At comedy or at YouTube?
At YouTube. Your YouTube.
At YouTube, no. I don't make a living from YouTube, though some people do.
Yeah. You are highly searched on YouTube, though. But the
Oh, yeah, I am searched.
The overall earnings I see here are between 32 cents and $5, so that's not encouraging as far as income.
Oh, I don't think I've ever checked into YouTube for money, so I don't know.
Okay, I just thought you might like to know that. I was just looking
about I mean, I wonder if I collect the $5 over the last, I guess since 2005, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I could buy a house, a very tiny house.
Yeah. And then you're also kind of a social activist because I saw this thing about you Portsmouth parking.
Yes.
The comedian blast Portsmouth parking and full page ad.
Yeah, yeah. I got a parking ticket for being parked backwards in a place where you wouldn't know that you couldn't do that, and so I paid the ticket. And then I took out a full page ad in their summer guide, complaining about their rules, or not complaining about the fact that there's no way to know that rule.
No vehicle shall remain back up to the curb.
Yeah, I found it later in their ordinances when I scoured their government website.
Yeah. And did you win the case, at least in the public view?
In the public view, yes, because it trended and then became it really works. Like, if you ever are mad at something, I really recommend taking out a full-page ad.
It's expensive, though.
But you really get your message out there.
Yeah.
It's not as expensive as advertising.
That's true.
Like in across a lot of platforms.
Yeah, you know, and as this, all eight volumes of this are interesting. But I was going through these things, and one of them is about sounds of various well-known and not so well-known people make during orgasm. Is that correct?
It's done. I first of all, I love that interpretation. It's just like a little like shy of 200 orgasm sounds.
Yes, a little shy of 200.
That all are titled. I think that's where maybe the confusion comes in. There's 198 orgasms that each have a title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
True.
Oh, okay. So it's more of an artistic thing once again. It's not so much a celebrity orgasm.
It isn't celebrities orgasming, though. Let me just say that's a great idea.
Volume 10.
You should do an outreach.
Eugene Merman, Volume 10, Celebrity Organs. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the thinking behind that, if any?
Oh, that it was a ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ludicrous to make 198 orgasm sounds and put them out as one of the volumes on your album and then give each one a title.
It is.
And then get to say, like, featuring 198 orgasms, again, like something somebody, like, has always sought out but is only now made available.
Yeah. And is that a crowd pleaser? Or is that mainly amusing to you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know how to answer it since you asked me about it. So
I know it's completely
effective.
Yeah, I know. I actually did really like it, but then I looked at what it was. I didn't realize I was listening to.
No. I mean, is it moderately upsetting? Yeah. Do I listen to it? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay.
But is it a really funny, ridiculous thing to do? I guess I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. There's two things on the album that are more like silly concept things, and everything else is, you know, largely meant to be listened to.
Meant to be listened to. You know what I like?
A meditation. You can listen to that. That's fun.
Meditation.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
Relaxing and silly.
Very good. And the Russian lessons I found actually useful.
Yes, they're fairly accurate.
Yeah.
My brother, when he listened to it, told me that I both knew more and less Russian than he thought.
Yeah, because you left when you were, what, four and a half, something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Was your Russian must have been impeccable at that point, even as a four-year-old?
It was better than my English at the time, but now my English is a little bit better.
Yeah. Can we play a little bit of that? Because I like one of the...
Totally.
Just a bit, little bit here from that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know where to buy drugs on an airplane. Я не знаю, где покупать наркотики на самолете. My butt is inside the car. Моя попа в машине. Your butt is inside a camel. Твоя попа в верблюде. Your butt is crying. Твоя попа плакает. Don't use a theater like a bathroom. Не используйте театр как туалет. Television is very pleasant. Телевизор очень приятный. I would like to have a son that could fly. Я хочу иметь сына, кто может летать. I really like Jews. Мне очень нравятся евреи. Do you know where they, the Jews, sell dead horses? Вы знаете, где они,
евреи,
продают мертвые лошади? Which one of you guys plays the balalaika? Кто из вас играет балалайку? Your cow is very soft. Твоя корова очень мягкая. I want to play with men. Я хочу играть с мужчинами. My sausages don't fit in your car. Мои сосиски не помещаются в твоей машине. I want to open a company that sells two things, flour and blood. Я хочу открыть компанию, которая продает две вещи, муку и кровь. I got drunk last night and accidentally killed a bird. Я напился вчера вечером и нечаянно убил птицу. I got drunk last night and accidentally killed a bird with my sword. Я вчера вечером напился и нечаянно убил птицу с моей саблей. You are a very pleasant idiot. Ты очень приятный дурак. I really like the smell in your mouth. Мне очень нравится запах в твоем рту. How much science do you have? Сколько у вас науки?
Oh, that it ends with that. Okay, okay. What's so funny about that, besides the fact that it's so funny, is that you feel some of those phrases might actually be useful in Russia.
Yeah.
Especially
you could really, really get around.
Yeah. Especially the flower and blood. I like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. People would know what you were saying. They would just wonder why.
And the bird with the sword thing, explaining that to someone would also be a good thing.
Yeah, well, they'd probably just believe you, especially if you had a sword.
Yeah. Have you been back to Russia as an adult? And
I haven't. I've wanted to go, but I haven't been back.
Yeah. What prevents you?
I think, well, at one point I wanted to go back and make a documentary, but I think at the time I wanted to do that, less people were murdered. And now, I don't know. There's no. When I told my mom I wanted to go, she was like, "It's a lawless country, don't go." And then, you know, my dad and my brother were like, "Oh, you should maybe go check it out."
Yeah. Do you think of yourself at all? Maybe not. But is there such a thing as a Russian sense of humor? And is some of what you do sort of related to that? Is there?
Yeah, there's a slight, you know, a dark and a slight, maybe absurdist streak in a Russian sense of humor. I mean, I grew up here, so it's sort of, there's a bit of it, but it's not completely that.
Yeah. And do you still live in Brooklyn?
I live in Brooklyn and in Massachusetts, yeah.
Oh, both, okay. And there's a big Russian community in Brooklyn.
There is, though I don't live near it, though I often go to Brighton Beach, especially when my family visits, we go down there.
Yeah. What do you do then, just at Brighton Beach?
I go to stores and then I'll buy also some Russian foods. And
Russian foods.
Get food. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that you are brilliant, and I don't exactly know why.
Thank you very much.
You've probably been told that before. It's very perplexing because your humor almost feeds on itself. But it's obviously you're too smart for most of us, and yet we'd like to think we're smart enough to understand what you're doing.
I have some great quotes to put on my album now. Too smart for most of you. But I think you'll like it.
I think you'll like it. Eugene, I'm going to let you go here. I know you, where are you playing next after Saratoga Springs?
I'm going home, but then next weekend I'm in Denver and Houston.
Denver and Houston, look for him. Eugene Merman, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Nice speaking with you. Eugene Merman, ladies and gentlemen, you know him from Bob's Burgers and from Speaking Russian. Okay. He's unique. Definitely unique. Okay. So then, how are you?
I'd like to sell my car. I'm good.
Because your sausages will not fit
yes.
in it? Is that the
yes. Yeah.
That's that compact. It's that subcompact you got.
Yeah. It's really small.
Either that or you got to reduce your sausages.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No. Not at this point, huh?
No.
No. No, sir.
No, sir.
How are you then?
I'm good.
Got a big Valentine's Day plan there?
No, I already had Valentine's Day.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
How'd that?
I okay. cooked a little fish.
Yeah. That was it?
That was it. Yeah. It was expensive.
Were you alone at the
It was
time,
expensive. Or? No, that's
funny. Nice piece of fish.
It was expensive fish, yeah.
Nice piece of fish.
It was really good.
What sort of fish was it?
It was wild caught king salmon.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. What? King salmon.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. How did you fix it then?
Broiled it. Roasted it, I guess you could call it, in the oven.
That sounds complex.
Well, The king salmon has got a lot of
it's got all of the oil
fat.
In there.
Yeah, it's got a lot of oil in there, so it just doesn't like cook up in you know eight yeah. minutes. It's like okay, add another two. Oh, add another two. Oh, how about another three? How about another? Takes yeah. a while. Yeah.
So did you season it at all? Or?
Yeah, salt and pepper, some oregano, yeah. some.
And what did you serve with it?
Broccoli.
And that was Valentine's Day.
That was Valentine's Day.
Piece of fish and some broccoli. That's nice. And did she? What'd she get you?
Nothing.
A lot of dessert or anything? Or?
I had dessert, too. Yeah.
Oh, you had dessert, too? Well, yeah. I didn't mention that. What did you make for dessert?
Raspberries, fresh raspberries. Yeah. And they were actually good. That's usually
a,
this time of year.
That's a fruit. That's not a dessert.
Well, no, but yeah, I had, like...
Doesn't matter if they're fresh.
It was so. On, like, full-fat yogurt with some dark okay. chocolate sprinkled on top.
All right.
Crushed up on top.
What a guy. What a guy. The heck with diamonds and jewels.
Oh, yeah, that's all overrated.
That's so passe.
They forget about it the next day anyway, and they're on to the next thing.
They got a nice piece of fish.
Yeah. Let's bring back fish.
Bring a nice piece of fish for Valentine's.
I'm going to bring back fish.
Bring back fish. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And hi, Jeff.
Hey, Michael.
I don't want to talk to you.
No, yeah.
He doesn't he's he didn't get
trouble.
His,
no, I know.
He always does this thing.
Yep.
Like it's Valentine's Day.
Panic.
Tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know you guys are kind of a romantic couple and all that stuff, but you never think of anything until the last second. The morning of, you'll find something, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Better that way.
Better that way. Are you think? Do you have an area of that you're thinking about?
Yes. I have a list right here.
You have a list?
Yeah. I'm putting together some ideas right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's coming together.
Do you want to save that for when you're off the air?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll hear that off the air then. Those of you here get to hear his ideas for Valentine's Day. And this little tune here is
it's called Emily.
Emily.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Anyone else here doing fish for Valentine's Day?
Any good fish.
Though. Even a nice piece of fish, yeah. Okay. You don't want to just do, you know, like cod, frozen cod.
Oh, no.
No. This is, that was a nice piece of fish, yeah. But not everything. Anyone, and any other, anything like fish? What, are you making, so are you making a salmon for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Good man, so you think alike. How are you doing yours?
Roasted
herbs, white wine.
Ooh.
You drink that, or you put it on the fish.
Put the
yeah. Don't drink it after it's been on the fish, though, because it really kills the ambiance, as we say in English. And you're doing fish too. Sushi?
Ooh.
Are you slicing your own sushi?
Yes.
Are you doing blowfish? Because be careful, I'm going to say. Wear your reading glasses if you're doing blowfish. If you're doing sushi at home. Do you do that a lot, sushi at home?
No.
No? First time?
Once with a friend who showed you how?
First time I'm okay. Okay. Where'd you get the blowfish?
No blowfish.
Oh, no blowfish.
No.
Okay. That'd be good for last Valentine's Day, I think. Anyone else doing fish or anyone else doing anyone here who's doing something really well, I guess you couldn't say because they might be listening or they might be there. But something, you know, really inventive. Yes, what are you doing? Hold on a second. That's worth the trip, ladies and gentlemen. This is worth the trip. Where is she again? I know, in this room. Okay, excuse me. This is probably the best idea I've ever heard for Valentine. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Her husband is, well, I'll let her clarify this. You probably didn't hear it at home, and it should come from you because you're doing it. How are you? Pretty good?
My husband is getting head cheese for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Fine, then. Is he here?
No, okay. He's home.
Okay.
He's going to be surprised. I'm surprising him.
Hopefully he's not listening now, because that would spoil the whole thing.
No, he's watching CNN. Yes.
What does he watch on there?
Everything, all day.
All day?
All day.
Not the Weather Channel? Doesn't he watch the Weather Channel at all?
Not. No? Nope, just CNN.
Why? What is he?
And a few murders.
A few what?
Murder shows he likes.
Murder shows?
Yeah, murder shows.
Do they have those on CNN?
No. Those are other ones. I always worry about him and him watching all those murder shows.
That there are a lot of them murder their wives.
Yeah, if I show up dead. Yeah, if I show up dead, I already told everybody.
Yeah. Did you write it out somewhere?
Make sure it's a natural death.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what you got to do? You got to put it in a letter and mail it to yourself.
Right.
So if anything happens to me, look at my husband's TV records.
Right. See what was the latest murder he watched.
Yeah, because some of them are pretty exotic things.
Right.
You know, something like head cheese, for example, could be
like head cheese.
Could be fatal if not prepared properly.
That's right.
Do you make this head cheese?
No.
Well, that's not quite as good a story, is it? Does he like head cheese?
Yeah, he loves head cheese.
Loves head cheese.
Yeah.
Every Valentine's Day, do you get him head cheese?
First time.
First time?
Yeah.
And how many years?
59.
59 years.
We got married very young.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were 4 years old and he was seven. Right.
Yep. Close to it.
Yeah, close to it.
And so 59 years and all he gets is a lousy head cheese? Is that what you're talking about?
That's it. That's it.
Do you like head cheese?
Yeah.
Really?
Never ate it until I got married.
That's true of so many things in marriage.
That's right.
That's what marriage is good for. You know, never did until I got married.
It has to be good for something. Marriage.
What is your name?
Kathleen.
Kathleen?
Lap.
Kathleen Lap. Two P's?
Two P's.
You'd have to do two P's with a lap.
That's right. It has to be two P's.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's two P's in a pod, you and Mr. Lap.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
What's his name?
Peter.
Peter. Okay. And he's not listening,
and
so.
My nickname is Kitty, so it's Peter and Kitty.
And that means what?
Nothing.
Okay. You should be doing this show, and I should be sitting here, is what it means.
Right.
Have you ever been on the air before or done your own show?
Never. Never.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know, what sort of vocation or...
I worked in a grocery store as a cashier for 23 years, and I was a dairy farmer.
Yeah, dairy farmer.
Yeah.
Keep your hand in that still?
No, not really.
Well, you know, we got something for you, Kathleen, because you've been so entertaining, and I love that. The head cheese idea is a good one.
We do. So something to pair with the head cheese, perhaps. How about some Domaine du Sec and Prairie Fumé wines from the Wollersheim Winery?
A bottle of each?
Yes, a bottle of each.
But I'm a teetotaler.
Wait a minute.
You're a what?
Isn't it called a teetotaler when you never drink?
Something. It's called ridiculous.
Right. You're right.
59 years, don't you need a drink by now?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't drink.
Never. Nope.
Okay. Well, what else you got there that that goes nice with a head cheese?
Oh, how about a handsome rugged mug from East Lansing's Jazz at Wharton Center? She can drink another libation from it.
No? What else?
Let's see. How about a triple X What Do You Know t-shirt? Not much since 1985.
Yeah, that's okay. Something good, though. Some edibles to go with the head cheese. Do we have cheeses? Can we have those cheeses on there? Regular cheeses?
We do have cheeses. I believe we reserve those for our town of the week.
No, guests, we don't. Not if Kathleen is here.
Sure, okay. So,
we'll get
for
you some
Kitty
nice cheeses
and Peter.
And we'll get you a mug. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're wonderful. He's a lucky guy. Let me say, he's a lucky guy.
Okay, I will tell him.
Okay.
I have to ask, Michael, what
Please
is
do.
Head so, cheese? Does everyone know what head cheese is?
What?
Head cheese, what is
head
it?
Head cheese is cheese made from the head.
Okay. Pretty self-explanatory.
It's like the CEO of a large corporation, it's awesome. Either one of those, it could be, or cheese made from the head. Right? Anyone here actually know how to make a head cheese? You take the head of something, right?
I think it's more than the head.
Cow.
I think it's...
And then you make find whatever meat's in the cheeks and the jowls, the whatever else. Lips. Cow lips are good, I heard. Does the tongue go in there, too, in the head cheese? Tongue
oh, yeah.
goes in there?
Oh, yeah.
There's no cheese, actually. Cheese is a misnomer. It's really that someone said it and said, "Geez." Head, a head, geez. And it was misinterpreted over the years as head cheese. So it was. Okay. Do you have anything special planned for today? My wife is missing out on the garden expo. Sorry.
I know.
Yeah, they got the head cheese thing.
It was a Christmas present, so I had to come.
Yeah. Well, the garden expo, I mean, should be going on for a while, right? You go back in the Garden Expo, okay.
We were there last night.
Oh, you were already there last night at the Garden Expo. Why make that an issue then? Excuse me, just say. I don't, you know. Well, who said this? The husband said this, right? My wife. Yes. Okay, that's right. Your husband was concerned about you. You wouldn't get enough Garden Expo.
Exactly.
Excuse me, I just got to get down here. This is another family crisis. And if it's a family crisis, I'm there. Especially in my family, I have to say. Well, so what?
Yeah, so I'm missing some... sessions.
What last night? How much? What session?
Different sessions on Friday night and different
what
sessions.
What sessions at the Garden Expo?
One about like growing mushrooms or what the, or what the, yeah.
I
or
like that idea.
Yeah. Or what the new annuals are for the, this
annuals.
Time. Yeah.
Every year at the annuals.
The new ones. Huh? The most popular new ones that come out.
There's a new annual?
Yeah.
Did you see one you liked?
Well, no, I haven't gone to the session yet.
What was last night all about?
I went to learn about herbs. To eat herbs.
To eat, yeah.
Yes. Or to use them in your flower pots as ornamental.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
There's something you could do, Jeff.
I like that idea.
Ornamental herbs in a pot. You'll love it. It'll hit your head in about 3 seconds, but it'll... Oh, that's nice. And did you enjoy yourself?
I got new ideas for the watering the garden this next year. Right out, straight out of the rain barrels.
Well, that sounds like a great time. I can see why you want to go back. Yes.
Last night he bought his bat house that he's been wanting for the last couple of years.
He finally got the bat house.
The bat house.
Oh. To attract the bats.
Yeah.
Back.
You know, if you want to just keep the house you got, you can just put it in a bat room.
Yeah, we used to have a whole nice colony of bats, and then they disappeared. So we're hoping to get them back.
What drove them out?
The house they lived in has been demolished.
Oh! We had bats for a long time, and then the flying monkeys drove them out.
We have no flying monkeys.
Yeah, you get those. If you have bats, you get flying monkeys. They're all predators for bats.
Really?
Yeah, I know. In fact, I'm having a symposium at the garden show on flying monkeys.
What
to drive out your bat problem.
What time is your symposium?
Well, I don't know. I got it down here. It's in my. I don't have my phone here right now. And you, and your name is?
Deb.
Deb and
Ed. Ed.
Deb and Ed? Deb and Ed, ladies and gentlemen, for all your garden needs. All right. Well, I got a lot I wanted to get to here, and I didn't get to it. Pardon me for walking sideways past you like that, but there's not much I can do in that situation. It's always been my problem. How are you doing, young man?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, you an athlete? You look like an athlete. You got the Nike thing going, and what's your sport?
I like football and basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which do you play better?
Football.
Football, yeah. What do you play? Running back?
Yeah, I'm good at running back, and I'm pretty good at wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
And defense.
And defense.
Yeah.
You play both sides of the ball?
Yeah.
I'm saying you probably don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Your name is?
Jacob Schilling.
Jacob Schilling. Remember the name. Draft pick. I'm thinking draft pick. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Therefore, the gentleman I get, if you come over to the aisle here, I'll meet you there. These are the legendary four disclaimers that have never changed in all these years, except for the second one. How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, good. And you are?
My name is Michael Christian.
Are you from around here? Or?
I'm from West Bend.
From West Bend. Beautiful West Bend. Come on, we applaud any place. Doesn't matter. I'll give you that and turn you loose.
I'd like you to know that this is on my bucket list.
Aww.
Yes. You want to know what else is on there?
No, what else?
Well, it's much more things exciting than this, but
yeah.
this is a good start.
What else? What number is it on the list?
No. Yeah. Top 10. This is like 15.
What's right at the top?
I'd like to maybe travel a little bit more.
Travels,
like I don't get out of Wisconsin very often,
no,
so I'd like to. I'd like.
To you.
Yeah, you never know. I like safety.
Yeah, I only go as far as the UP.
Not all the way to Canada.
No, that's been it'd be a nice idea too. Maybe that's on my list.
You need a passport to get to Canada, not to the UP. The four disclaimers for today's show. Shall I go? You sure?
Go ahead.
Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, so much for global warming. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Good job. You got a good point. You can do radio. What's your name again?
I have a face for radio, right?
Yeah, me too.
Mike Christian.
Mike Christian. No, you keep that, Mike. That's cross that off your bucket list. And if you had to travel to get here, then that's two. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous and needing... do you need prizes? Do you need prizes in your life? You do? Okay, oh, come on. Over here. She needs prizes. Did you ever win anything? Did you ever actually win anything in a contest or anything?
I won a couple of things.
Yeah, what'd you win?
Like $50.
$50 for what?
I can't remember. It was a Christmas thing, and it was just a gift certificate to something.
Oh, yeah, they just pulled it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your name is?
Susie. Lewis.
From around here, Susie?
Onalaska.
Onalaska. Beautiful Onalaska, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. It's as good as West Bend. Susie, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because it is on my bucket list.
On her bucket list. We're hitting all the bucket lists. Come on down, Susie. Your husband doesn't what?
Doesn't know I'm here. Well, he probably doesn't.
Why should he?
Because he'd be mad.
Is it any of his business?
Absolutely not.
You married the guy, doesn't give up all rights, you know. He's got his things, you got your things. I don't see why you have to explain everything. Yeah, sit down. You would be mad if he knew you were here?
Because he's not here, too.
Oh, well, he'd like to be here.
Yeah, he would like to be here. Oh,
but is it on his bucket list?
It may be. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. We should talk about these things.
I know.
Honey, let's talk about our bucket list.
Really?
That'd be a conversation you'll never have. Right? Got to show you some of these items. Sorry, dear. Some of them are... Okay. What are you doing these days?
I work for federal employee, but I work for the National Guard.
What do you do? What do you do for them?
IT specialist.
IT is it.
It.
You're an IT specialist.
I'm an IT specialist. Yes,
so
I am.
You're one of those techies?
Yes.
For the National Guard? That's cool. And do you do that in Onalaska?
No, I work at Camp Douglas.
At Camp Douglas? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Done that for a while? Or?
Yeah, about 12 years. About.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. How they treating you? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Great job.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear. Let's talk about your bucket list now.
Okay.
What else you got on there?
What else do I have on my bucket list?
Yeah. You don't have to tell me that.
I was going to say.
Don't tell me anything that's none of my business, which could be everything on there.
No, I want to get to Europe.
Europe?
Yes.
Any particular country?
England.
England?
United Kingdom. I'd like to go to Ireland and Scotland. And
oh, yeah. You got to do that.
And that's on my husband's bucket list, too.
It's on his,
It's on
that.
His, yeah.
Okay, so that should happen then.
That should happen, exactly. Yeah.
Valentine's Day, how's that looking? Pretty good for you?
Yeah, we're an old married couple, so, you know.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, find another old married couple and party with them?
Maybe, yeah. We'll probably get a card.
Yeah. What does he do?
He works for a sign company. He sells signs.
Sells signs.
Yeah.
Okay. Susie, you know how this works. Someone out there plays along with you?
I do, yeah.
Okay. And so it's that's cooperative, I guess you'd call that. Not familiar with the feeling myself, but and Stephanie, how does this all happen?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. The new millennial focused Whole Foods 365. They're opening up this thing. Will feature what unrelated service area? You probably saw this in the news, made the news everywhere recently. There's a new Whole Foods. It's aimed at millennials, called 365, and they're adding additional services that you might not associate with food products necessarily. And this is one in particular along those lines. Darren's in Liberal, Kansas. Hey, Darren.
I have no idea.
Okay, thanks for calling, though. Yeah. It's nice talking to you. What's going on? Anything?
No, nothing. Hanging out with my son.
Oh, dear. What can you do? He's a nice kid, though.
Oh, yes. I enjoy him immensely.
Yeah.
Immensely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling, though, Darren. Tim's on the line from Appleton. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Michael.
What up?
It's cold up here.
Oh, is it really? It's really warm down here. I guess we got that. We got that Gulf Stream that runs, you know, just south of you guys there through combined locks. That's it turns at Appleton, heads straight down to southern Wisconsin, where we're just basking in it.
Good. Shorts and T-shirts, right?
Shorts and T-shirts all year round. Are you kidding? It's Wisconsin. So, Tim, the new thing at the Whole Foods stores, 365, what are they offering?
Tattoos.
Oh, Tim. That's right.
Really?
Are you a millennial, Tim? Are you a millennial, Tim?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. But would you go to Whole Foods and get a tattoo while you're there?
No.
No. It seems like a strange idea to me, but I am not of that, you know, age group, so I'm not so sure. Tim, this is Susie.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Susie.
Susie, this is Tim. The two of you are a team. You feel bonded sufficiently?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So you work together on this. We have various categories, don't we, Stephanie?
We do. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Tim, we'll let you take the first one. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Let's see. Following Beyonce's performance at the Super Bowl, their song Formation, sales at what food franchise went up 1/3?
Red Lobster.
Oh.
I'll go with him. I have no idea.
Tim.
He's just...
Way to be, Tim. Yes. Red Lobster.
All right, Tim.
I guess I missed that reference in the song myself. I was watching her. I didn't get the reference in the song. But.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are people, places, school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Susie, what would you like?
School.
Okay, things you should have learned in school. Here, the answer, there's an answer here. The answer is 2 to the 74 millionth, 207,000th, 281st minus 1. What is that?
Anybody?
Newly discovered, but it's a
Oh, is that the side of the wave?
No,
not that the one. Gravy wave?
Not said. The gravy wave. No. Tim, you must know this one because you know everything.
The amount of atoms in the universe.
Oh, no. No. I thought you might have seen this in the news or something. No?
No idea.
So, okay. It's the largest prime number.
Oh. Oh.
Only divisible by itself and one.
Wow.
Okay. I thought it was impressive, but...
okay.
To be depressive. That would be.
So, we stopped a little short of that. Well.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
So that's one right, one wrong, and the remaining categories are people, places, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Tim, back to you.
Science.
Science. A sneeze. The science of sneezing. There are people who are sneeze or particle physicists or whatever, fluid particle. I don't know. A sneeze produces clouds of gas that carry infectious droplets 100, 200, or 300 times farther than they were if they were just disconnected droplets. So the beauty of a sneeze... Is that
I'm thinking 300.
I am, too. I think
or 200 or 100.
Okay. then 200.
200? 200? Tim?
100?
No, sure. I'm just saying...
oh, 200, yeah.
That seems like it would be 200. Enough to me, yeah. 200 times farther because of the cloud that's produced. 200 times, yes, 200 times. Yay. According to the fluid dynamics disease transmission people at MIT. Okay. There you go. Huh?
Is that the... Did they win the quiz?
No, they didn't. Oh,
okay.
With us. Well, yeah.
Okay, one more. Yeah. So that's 2 right, 1 wrong. Remaining categories are people, places, and odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. This is for the money here. Among young men, do high self-confidence... okay. Does high self-confidence lead to low success in online dating?
No. Would be...
Or yes. A,
or yes.
I want you to know...
Okay, then everyone here is shaking their head. Yes, Tim.
Well,
yes, I would
you
say
probably
yes.
Don't online date, right?
No.
They probably have some experience with this. Am I correct? Okay, so they say somebody, a young man with high self-confidence, is that actually a negative in terms of success for online dating?
Yes, then.
Yes.
Huh? Tim, you agree with that? Yes, it is. They're inverses. Don't sound so cocky when you're online.
Susie, you won the perfect book for Valentine's Day, Steve Allman's Candy Freak, A Journey Through the Chocolate Underbelly of America from Algonquin Books. Tim, your mornings will be filled with love and romance, drinking Steep & Brew breakfast blend coffee, and your Valentine's Day will be complete savoring smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. Congratulations to both of you. Of you.
All right.
Thank you.
And much, much more.
Thank you very much.
Stick around. There's more laughs ahead. In the next hour, we flip some more Bob's Burgers talent with funny man Andy Kindler, plus an out-of-this-world round of the What Do You Know quiz. That's all coming up when we return. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we keep the Bob's Burgers love going with funny man Andy Kindler. Plus, we're over the moon for another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who will not run but would accept a draft at the convention, Michael Feldman.
say that, and I never really had an opportunity to say that. Thank you for that.
Well, you said it in Cleveland one time, and that was kind of embarrassing.
I said, thank you, Madison, in Cleveland, yeah. I was thinking about Madison when I was in Cleveland, so what can you say? Well, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. That's right, it's time for... Thanks for the memos. All right, here's a little one here. Okay. This goes out to everybody. With all the trainees, it's a boot camp for new managers, and they're asking all the trainees. This is the email they receive. It says, "To conserve paper, we are asking participants to print the manuals before the class starts." There's a place you want to work for right off the bat. And then there's this one here, from I can't say where it's from, Charleston. Halloween coming up again. We get all kinds of memos related to Halloween and the practice of and various things. I mean, but never one like this. Colleagues, a reminder. The office is permitted to decorate for Halloween. However, you are prohibited from using decorations that depict spiders or could be interpreted as a spider or suggest the presence of spiders. This includes spider webs, spider men, etc. This prohibition extends to the entirety of the office, including any private offices. The use of such decorations will be considered an act of insubordination. I do not want to be or intend to be harsh. However, I have been challenged in the past, and I am simply not up to the challenge this year. If you violate the rule, you'll be reprimanded, respectively, boss man. There you have it. No spiders for Halloween in this repressive office environment. I don't even, this apparently is real. Might be a pocket phone. Okay, I gotta read this. Ambulatory Surgery Center Director, wanted from the classified. We'll work around the word. This someone sent this from me, and apparently it's true. There's a clinic. It says, Ambulatory Surgery Center Director, experienced recovery room RN needed to oversee daily functions of our Ambulatory Surgery Center. This is an excellent opportunity to work with a great group of nurses and a-holes. Not the word used. Previous experience with endoscopy and gastroenterology, a must. Okay, there you have it. So someone sent me that, and apparently someone who is doing the classifieds for this center was working their last day at that time. Okay, and then in all the news that is around here, because the isn't never works for me.
This is the real stuff.
This is the real stuff. It's from around here. This here. The Girls on the Run Eau Claire chapter has expanded into Chippewa County and is changing its name to Girls on the Run of the Chippewa Valley. Okay, things are a little slow right now in the Eau Claire region. This is good, though. It's Winona, Minnesota. But what the heck? It's just a border. It doesn't mean a thing. And there's a river that runs through it. Winona. They say Winona, don't they, up in Minnesota? They say Winona? Okay. We say Winona here?
No.
No. We don't say it anywhere, do we? Okay. Winona County man out looking for his cat Sunday evening was slapped with a disorderly conduct charge after he got into a dispute with a bicyclist and struck him with his cane. The bicyclist was cited with the same charge after the dispute. Not with a cane, I presume. So not the same charge. Which, when it was all said and done, lasted for 2 miles from where it began, according to the Sheriff's Department. Glenn Michael Gertis, 80, of La Crescent, was driving on County Road 16 about 6:15 p.m., apparently in search of a missing cat, when he nearly struck Harry Andrew Hotch, 50, also of La Crescent, who was riding his bicycle on the road, according to the department. Hotch was biking to La Crescent along the paved road close to the shoulder when he saw a vehicle coming toward him and cross the center line. Afraid that the car was going to hit him, he yelled out, and Gertis swerved and went past him, at which point Hotch offered a hand gesture in response. I'm assuming it wasn't applause. Gerdes admitted to crossing the center line, according to the department. Hawk continued to pedal down the road, at which point Gerdes slowed down and yelled something to him, according to the department. The two began to argue about what had happened. At one point, Gerdes grabbed his cane, exited his vehicle, and struck Hawk on the head with his cane, according to the department. At that point, Hawk pushed Gerdes down several times. Well, he got up. That means he got up several times. That's good for a man his age. And pedaled away, but Gerdes pursued him in his car and nearly hit him a second time, according to the department. Gerdes then left the scene, picked up a passenger, and returned to find Hawk. Okay. Gerdes then left the scene, picked up a passenger, and returned to find Hawk. Hawk proceeded to damage the side view mirrors of Gerdes' vehicle, as well as the windshield wiper, and threw a rock at the vehicle, according to the department. So it starts to get out of hand at this point. The passenger in the vehicle exited and told him to stop, and a nearby resident called law enforcement. Gerdes and Hawk were each sighted with disorderly contact. The department wasn't able to discern whether Gerdes had been searching for a cat or whether he had located the cat. So that's a good one. That's good news. That's all the news that is, and thank you for your indulgence. Where can they send all those, anything? Send anything. How can they get it to me?
They can
memo
send
or
anything.
News, anything or whatever.
They can send anything to you at whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos or whatever they please, yeah. Or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay. By the way, I have, speaking of hoarding, I have 30 years worth of memos, stacks of them. I save them all.
You save them every week?
Yeah, because I always think they're going to come in handy. You know, maybe I'll do. I did one book of memos, but that was like many years ago, and it hasn't been much call for another book on memos. And so I got them all there. So I have the world's biggest collection of other people's memos.
You can scan them into a computer at some point.
That's what I want. In retirement, I think that's what my retirement will be devoted to, scanning my memos into my computer. He's on the line. Okay, this is cool. You know, the king of comedy. And uneasy lies the head that wears the crown, of course. It's Andy Kindler on the line with us now. He couldn't make it last week because he didn't know he had to. But he's here this week, and it's Andy Kindler from Los Angeles. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm so excited to have finally made this. My apologies to everyone who tuned in last week.
Yes, accepted, and really you should just apologize to me.
I'm sorry, Michael.
It's not their careers that are hanging by a thread.
Anything I can do,
yeah.
Forward you, send you a telegram, something.
Yeah. Did you work last night, Andy?
No, that's why I was able to get to sleep by 5 in the morning and up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed,
yeah.
Whatever they say when people... I never get up in the morning. I don't understand why there is a morning. My wife and I, we get up at 5 in the afternoon. We wonder why the post office is closed. And why is your restaurant... And then we argue with the restaurant about why they're not serving breakfast anymore.
Yeah. You know what? You're very European.
That's what I tell people.
You're continental. Tell them that and give you the damn eggs already. You know.
Well, I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish European, which is not sexy.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mention that part, Andy, frankly. You just want to get some eggs. You know, you're not going to bring up your whole ball of wax.
No, I'm not going to bring up my whole mishpucha.
Your mishpucha is a good word you don't often use.
And the radios are being turned off nationally as I launch into Yiddish.
I know. You know what's best about your routines is the fact that you yourself criticize them as you're doing them.
Yes, what I do is I tell the joke.
Yeah.
I make a comment about the joke. I tell the crowd how I wrote the joke. I yell at them for not laughing at it. I go over the references. I actually have a joke about commenting. I said before I was in comedy, I was in the deconstruction business. I didn't build anything. I just commented while other people built it.
Yeah.
Drywall looks more like wet wall. And that joke doesn't even go over.
No, it's not good at all. It's not good at all.
You should be on stage with me.
You know what it is,
further piling on me.
You know what it is, though, with you. Your corrections are funnier than your jokes.
It's been said. I have always gone. I will go to the wall for the quality of my jokes, but there's nobody else will.
Yeah. Is there like a cadre of comedians, and do you all live together in L.A.?
Yes. I live with Gilbert Gottfried, who's a share a bed with.
That would be rough.
And I can't think of one more comic.
Yeah.
All I can think of was Fred Travellina, and I think he's passed away.
Fred Travellina.
I'm thinking of obscure references.
That's what I do. See, that's the problem I do. I do my humble monologues, and I actually, last week I was going to have you review the monologue with me and see what was funny, what worked, what didn't. But now you got in the second hour, and that's already gone and done with.
Well, yeah, but the problem is that I listen to your monologue. The problem is I'm in your wheelhouse, so we both enjoy the same kind of humor. So
yeah.
I couldn't criticize it. I'd be laughing Ed McMahon style next to you.
Yeah, but you know,
McMahon, anybody?
But my, you know, it occurs to me that my references are seriously out of date. You know, I made a reference to something in Shakespeare last week in a monologue, and so I had to explain the entire scene in Shakespeare and who Shakespeare was. I mean, how stupid was, I mean, I knew it was stupid, and I did it anyway, but I can't.
Well, all of a sudden you felt like Falstaff. Am I right?
I fell on myself.
What am I, a merchant of Venice all of a sudden?
What do you people want, huh?
All I know is I don't actually have read Shakespeare, but I know the references.
I know. Well, I taught English for a while, and that's about all I got of it were a few references to Shakespeare.
I was an English literature major. A lot of people, nobody's ever asked me that, but I'm telling you.
Well, what was your expertise in?
I enjoyed all of the people around, like, I loved Hemingway, I loved Sherwood Anderson, F. Scott Fitzgerald, that time period.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I am poorly read.
Yeah. As a young man, were you middle-aged?
Yes, I was an old Jewish man.
Yeah,
because
that's what Gilbert Gottfried does so well. He's like an old man, and he stops and criticizes himself as an old man. But he really is sort of like an old man, like a dirty old man, curmudgeonly old man. But you have sort of like a middle-aged vibe or something, where you're very reflective and you're very measured out, and you think about and then you explain why something works or doesn't work. Or apologize for having said something that no one, you know, it's to me that's middle age.
Yeah, well, I'm the guy, you know, I'm old enough that my grandmother retired to Florida.
Yeah.
In those days, before there was South Beach, so I'm the guy making fun of the older people playing shuffleboard. That would be.
Yeah.
Slightly younger, middle aged, making fun of the older people.
Yeah.
But I recently went to a Denny's and was eligible for their senior menu, which is 55 and over, and that was a depressing morning for me.
Yeah, terrible. My daughter got me my first Denny's. You know, you get something off on a something that you didn't want anyhow, and she says, "Dad, ask for the," you know, it was like a 14-year-old girl was at the cash register. "Dad, ask for the old people's special."
Yes. Well, the worst part about it, if you look at the menu, it says the senior menu. And then I'm not joking about this. They say they put senior in front of each item. So do you want the senior spaghetti and meatballs? Would you like the senior? And my favorite one was senior tilapia. I don't like tilapia, and I don't want one old. I don't want an old tilapia.
An old tilapia for you, yeah. So do you work a lot, though? Because you don't go on tour, do you? Because I haven't seen Andy Kindler tonight at Madison's Orpheum Theater or something like that. Is that it?
Well, I stay away from the theaters only because I can't fill them. And I was currently last year on my Half a House tour.
Yeah,
I refuse to sell more than half the tickets for any venue. No, but I have played at the Comedy Club in Madison, but have not been rebooked yet.
Yeah, that's been closed for years now, so it's not likely, I don't think.
It's not about how well I do with the crowds.
Yeah.
It's not about the quality of the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of the third thing I was going to say. I Rick Perry'd it.
So, but you are working, and then you've got that great gig on the Burgers show, Bob's Burgers.
I am the voice of Mort the Mortar. I used to tell people I'm a recurring character, but then I said to myself, why am I putting out negativity? Just tell them I'm the voice of Mort. I don't have to tell them how many episodes I'm contracted for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the voice of Mort, who runs the mortuary next door. I'm saying it like it's an actual real thing.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah. We have
the crowd's going wild.
We have
a memory of me doing Mort.
Well, we had a clip from it last week, but I don't think we have it this week.
Oh,
wait a minute. Here it is. We got it.
But most of the time, what I find is lots and lots of tumors.
Aw, already finishing each other's...
Oh, my God, no. Linda.
Sentence.
Stop.
Sentences.
Okay, there's a clip from it. Now, what was that all? Lots and lots of tumors, is that what you said?
Well, this is the greatest, this is one of the greatest experiences. I'm guilty of hyperbole, but luckily there's no sentencing. But I got to be, do a scene with Amy Sedaris, who's one of my heroes. She's so hilarious.
She's great.
She played a mortician, and we were dating.
Oh.
So we were just comparing all the hilarious things that we found inside of dead bodies.
Yeah, lots and lots of tumors.
It's a cartoon. Tell the people, please, calm down.
It's a cartoon,
down.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon.
It's not...
People don't actually die in real life.
No, it's not for everyone sort of cartoon. It's like an Adult Swim kind of cartoon.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I thought you meant death isn't for everyone.
No, that unfortunately is for everyone.
No, let's not dwell. I'm the kind of comic who would say that. It would get a bad response about death, and then I would talk about death for 5 more hours.
Yeah.
And you talk about every one of my relatives who has died, but still manages to annoy me.
Well, that's a good one. That I like a lot. Oh, okay, I'm going to take credit for that one at some point in my life history. Okay, what am I going to say now? Oh, yeah. No, I forgot what I was going to say. God, that knocked it right out of me. I do know that I've been following you on Twitter because I'm worried that you don't work enough.
Well, you know, I do work. I don't work enough. I do work enough.
You do.
And I realize that I'm still horribly in debt on credit cards.
Yeah.
But I do work as much as anyone wants to book me. I do work. I go about two weekends a month on the road. That's the way I roll.
But where do you? It's somewhere in L.A., right? Do you ever leave L.A. or?
Well, I'm from Queens. I'm from Queens, New York.
Yeah, right.
And got out of there very quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I went to school upstate.
Funny, you don't sound it.
I don't sound like I'm from New York, really?
Yeah, no, I don't sound Queens at all, no.
Well, I built my early act, such as it was, on my mother, doing a impression of my mother's, who sounds like, it was Azzy, you live in California, how are the fajitas? So that's basically how people in Queens sound. But I don't sound that way. And neither does my mom. It's a lie. And Z, your cousin Michael is going to college. You majored in English literature. Would that be a nice subject for your cousin Michael? That type of thing.
And did that lead you to think you'd have a future in comedy?
No, I started out as a musician, and I never thought about comedy.
Okay.
And then when I got into comedy, I never thought I wanted to be the Beatles when I was a kid, and that dream sailed. And then I never really thought I'd get anywhere.
What did you play?
As a young man, I played violin, and I hated that immediately. And it took me 8 more years to stop playing because I transferred my violin teacher into another parental figure who was disapproving, and I don't like confrontation, didn't want to disappoint her. So it took to the second year of college to stop violin. Then I started guitar at 16.
16, and then did you tour as a guitarist?
No, unfortunately, I decided when I got out to L.A., when I don't know why, I drove cross country in a 1972 Ford Country Squire station wagon.
Nice.
And I decided to get into cover band, so I would be doing Girls Just Want to Have Fun in a Ramada Inn.
Who was doing the lead singing? Do you remember that?
Well, I do remember because it was me and nobody liked my voice, and I love Dylan's voice. I love Dylan's voice, but nobody, but then anybody criticized. I can hear someone criticizing me from 100 yards away. So we had to add. In those
Days, they're loud. That's why they're very loud, Andy. When they do it.
Hey, Kindler, quit!
Say something funny, Kindler.
Well, what they said was you had to have in those days, if you wanted to make it in the cover band world, you had to have 4+1. 4+1.
Yeah.
You had to have a woman, female singer.
Right.
So we had that. We were a very, very boring band, and the way I got, and this is actually true. The way I got into not the way I got into comedy, but one night the crowd hated us because they thought we were a heavy metal band, and I started to kibitz with them, and the club owner passed up a note, and the note said, cut the chatter. That's a true story.
And that propelled you into the business, that rebuke.
It took me four more years, but I stumbled in. A friend of mine, Bill is his name, he encouraged me to do it. So I started in a duo, which I recommend to anybody, because starring stand-up, people say, is it as frightening as it looks? It is more frightening than it looks when you start.
No. Because I saw
I'm frightened now, Michael.
I know. Well, it's the start and the end. This is the end, actually. So the start was frightening. But
is this my life?
This is your life, Andy Kindler. We have a washing machine for you, and this is all over.
And, of course, half the people don't get...
Oh, that's Queen for a Day. I'm sorry, that's Queen for a Day. You're Queen for a Day.
Queen for a Day.
Queens from a Day.
Queens
from day one. Queens from day one. For you. Andy, wait a second. God, there's so many things I got to think of, and then you keep coming up with stuff. This is really throwing me off my game here, totally.
Well,
so anyhow,
I have ADD. I have ADD. I don't know if you do, but I my mind goes blank every 7 seconds.
No, because I was before ADD. Half the things they have now, I was before all of them. So I really have no problems whatsoever. I have no...
You were a pioneer.
I have no social diseases or disorders because they didn't exist.
You were the first person to forget what they were saying.
I do that more and more. I don't think it's an age thing. I think I've always done that. Okay. So I've been following your Twitter stuff because from this standpoint, it's hard to get an idea of what your stand-up would be like at this point in history, unless you live in one of those places where you go to on 2 weekends a month somewhere. You know, it's Wyoming or something. I mean, where do you go? North Dakota or someplace?
No, I've been to... Hey, I can't get into North Dakota, but I can get into South Dakota. I do a gig by Mount Rushmore that is very well attended.
Yeah. Do you reference the monument?
Yes. Hey, I can't think of one person who's on it. Is Lincoln on it? Hey, Lincoln! You're a little stiff tonight.
That kills them out there.
It does kill them. It's like, what are you people, granite?
Yeah, see, now we're getting some Kindlerisms.
Well, my stand-up is not like my, thank God. Well, some people would say thank God. On Twitter, I've decided to be myself and not necessarily be funny all the time, which I think, and so I give my opinions, which people don't a lot of times enjoy, but I don't usually do that when I come to a club.
No, you don't really reveal yourself or your own opinions?
No, I do, but it's more about, I say stuff like, Jay Leno has a car that runs on the energy of all the people's dreams that he's crushed. It's that kind of comedy.
That's good.
And see,
it's not for everybody, but it was good.
Yeah, but a lot of people, a lot of people enjoy. So I do talk about other comedians.
I know.
I make fun of them.
Yes.
But I don't do as much stuff about politics in the club.
In fact, you do that mammoth thing, epic thing every year where you actually, the whole thing is about criticizing other comedians, taking apart their acts and what annoys you with what they're doing, right?
Yes, it's Juste pour Rire.
The what?
The Just for Laughs Festival. Every time I speak French, it's bad.
No.
It's in Montreal, Canada, and it just started out I'd written an article on National Lampoon called The Hack Comics Handbook, and it was when there was that big comedy boom that annoyed everybody. So from that article, I did a demonstration in Montreal, and I just started giving a speech every year called The State of the Industry, and I just gave my 19th speech. 19th year.
Yeah, amazing. And by the way, check it out if you haven't heard one of these. They're great. But, I mean, have you heard back from Seinfeld as you took apart his entire career, basically?
Well, Seinfeld, I think it's weird about it. I'm a huge fan of the show Seinfeld. I still watch the reruns all the time.
Sure.
But no, I didn't. But I spoke to somebody who said that Seinfeld did find out about this thing I said. But that was only because I was lucky enough to have an article written about me in the New York Times on the same weekend as the speech. Otherwise, Seinfeld, that's the only way he heard about me was reading the Times.
Yeah. And what was the thing that you mentioned about Seinfeld, something that was patently false, that he was making, that he was doing, that he was riffing on?
Yes, because the thing that bothered me was that Seinfeld went on some sports talk show, and he said he started to complain about how college kids today are so PC. But he starts out by saying, "No, I don't play colleges, but people have told me." And then there's this whole national thing, all these comics saying, to PC at the colleges. But he's never played a college. Jerry Seinfeld does not play colleges, does not want to play a college. He does not want to leave his literal ivory tower that overlooks Central Park. He has $1 billion
in the bank. It's actually made out of ivory? Is that what you're saying?
It is made out of ivory. And the point I'm saying is, like, if you want to talk about the way kids are at college, yeah, well, talk about it from experience. Don't talk about it because somebody told you. And so I was just getting worked up about how people were listening to Jerry Seinfeld, who'd never, and Chris Rock too, who also doesn't play colleges.
Yeah.
So
but he said the same thing.
Up for the kids.
Chris Rock said the same thing.
He said that he doesn't play colleges either, and
because they're too PC.
Too PC. That's the theory, and I don't. First of all, colleges have never been the hotbed of hot comedy necessarily. They book them differently, and I just think it was just it's people want to think. See, here's the thing, like someone like Bill Maher who says terrible things about people,
yeah,
he wants to complain that we're too PC,
yeah,
so you won't make fun of him.
Uh-huh.
So that the people who scream the loudest about it being too PC, yeah, are the people who say the worst things.
Yeah, and Woody Allen used to say, well, he doesn't play colleges because the laughs are too easy when you're high, you know.
Well, that's true.
And, you know, so to me, that's more authentic, really, than...
Yeah, and that's... Well, also, I used to think that colleges were going to be like in the movie Annie Hall, where he goes, stick around, the second show is completely different, he says to Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a documentary.
No, that wasn't a documentary. And Jimmy Fallon, I did appreciate your remarks on Jimmy Fallon, who I find unbearable, frankly. People say, oh, you're just jealous because he's a teenager. And yes, I am jealous, but...
That argument does not hold water. Where they every time, when you have an opinion, they say to me online all the time that I'm jealous. Yeah,
you're jealous.
It's a given that I have envy and jealousy.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that what I'm saying isn't true.
No, it could possibly be true. Well, what's your take on Jimmy Fallon?
Well, everything is so great. It's great. So here's my impression of him interviewing Stalin. Okay. Stalin, thanks for coming on the show. So great. I love your work, Stalin. So great. I heard you killed 30 million people. That's crazy. Would you like to play charades? After these messages, Jimmy will play hangman with a person who's actually hung a man.
Oh, he's yeah, late happy. Night television.
Prejudice towards Letterman. I love that Letterman was grouchy on TV. I go watch TV to see someone be themselves, not to see, but I guess I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
People want to just be entertained at.
Oh, I thought there was an end to that sentence.
At.
Was there a direct object following the at, usually?
Look, let's not get into prepositions.
Yeah. Yeah. How's your brother doing at Morgan Stanley?
My brother is doing way, 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 way better than me.
Yeah.
And my brother...
Yeah.
He is goes on these shows like on CNBC, and he actually he talks, and he's really good on those shows.
Yeah, does
he's
he
very,
use
very bright?
Does he use Kindler, or do you have to drop that?
Drop the Kindler?
Yeah.
Why? Because he doesn't want to be associated with me.
I think it was a routine or something, you know. Kindler on the economy.
Kindler on the economy. Well, when that Schindler's movie came out, everybody was saying Kindler's List to me until I had to leave the country for several years. They said, have you thought about Kindler's List?
Yeah.
Yes, I have thought about it.
You know what, though? Kindler's List would have been a lot shorter. Almost nobody on Kindler's List. That's the difference. The rest of you are on your own.
Yeah, that's right. I would want to save nobody.
Yeah,
that's not right. Let's not portray me as a Nazi. Also, I compare. The other thing I do is I
Nazi
compare.
References are always good. I do that all the time.
Anti-Godwin. I think Godwin has ruined compare. Everything should be compared to Hitler, because then you really get to know. You see an image, and you get the comparison immediately.
Very important to throw Hitler around.
Yeah, I said Bill Maher is like Hitler, except Hitler didn't laugh after every one of his jokes. And people say, are you serious? I'm not really saying he's Hitler, but I'm glad I was able to leave that impression in your mind. Oh, have I brought everybody down?
There's so much
Hitler's
to say.
Hitler's no longer alive, folks. Yeah. He's been defeated.
I did do what did I do today, a joke on Uber in Brazil. You know, they banned Uber in Brazil because the old Nazis were uncomfortable with Uber. So that's about as far as I went today with my Nazi references. But I throw them in like every other week easily.
Well, I said this joke, which never gets a laugh. I said that the goose step was a terrible idea, and a lot of people don't know this. 80% of Nazis had hamstring issues later on in life, and that's how they catch them in Argentina. Look at that elderly curmudgeon limping, and that's the punchline right there.
That's
nothing.
True. And it's true, and like the boys from Brazil, all those guys had a limp. But they were like 90, you know, but still. That's insightful. See, when humor is both funny and insightful, then you got something.
Yes, we learned about hamstrings, which are not kosher, as you know.
Yeah.
I just did a pun, folks. I want a standing ovation.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll call you back when that one happens. Andy, I want to thank you. Do you have like a book out or something out we can promote here? Because I usually like to say at the end. And Andy's new book.
No, I will be on Conan on October 6th, if that's something to promote.
That's it?
But no. Okay. I'm supposed to be writing. How about this?
Yes.
I'm currently writing a book proposal.
How's that going to go, you think? Too soon to say?
Well, there's no pages yet, but I'm tossing around some really funny ideas.
Yeah, sounds great. Andy, thanks for actually getting a hold of us this time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being so nice about everything. That was so cool.
Big fan. Andy Kindler, ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, formerly of Queens. Andy Kindler, come on. He's entertaining. All right. Doesn't have a book out, so I can't promote that. You can watch Bob's Burgers and wait for Mort to come on, and you'll pretty much have his career. All right. Let's get rid of all these. There's notes for 2 weeks now, and I added to them each week. So I know more about Andy Kindler than you care about, I'm sure. All right. So then, fine. How are you? Pretty good then, huh?
Yeah.
Since the first hour?
Mm-hmm.
What you been thinking about?
Oh, nothing. Nazis. Mm-hmm.
Nazis, anything. Yeah. How am I thinking about Nazis? Okay, so Springtime for Hitler and all that, and then are you going to play that right now?
Oh, yeah. No. It's called Falling in Love with Love.
Falling in Love with Love, a great classic. John Tooling, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Mr. Mike. It's me, Mr. Mike.
You're the Mike.
That's a great song.
Thank you.
Great song. You. Fall in Love with Love is whose song?
That is Rodgers and Hart.
Richard Rodgers. And I'll say once again, I know I said this before, Rodgers and Hart, yes. Rodgers and Hammerstein, no.
Yeah, right there. You got it.
Thank you. Controversial, I know. Didn't mean to rock you back on your heels with that one. But Hammerstein was no Hart.
No.
Okay. I'm doing these in random. You know, I shuffled them, and here they are. So we're up to Lois Finnessy and daughter, Jessa Trip-Allen. Is that close? Okay. I have an autograph from... Okay, all right, I'll just go back. This is a long card, so why should I read it when she can? She wrote it. I mean, what the heck? She's from Eau Claire now. Oh, we talked about Eau Claire quite a bit on this show because it's the only funny news seems to come from Eau Claire. Have you noticed that?
That's why I moved back.
Yeah, can I get you to stand up a little bit, dear, if you don't mind? Hi, Lois.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy, and it's nice to see you.
My daughter met you 15 years ago.
You did? What were the circumstances?
In a bar.
Okay, and then what happened?
Well, I sat down and I was listening to you talk to the bartender because I was by myself in the bar. And that was before children. But anyway, I recognized your voice and said, well, are you Michael Feldman? And you said, of course, yes, I am. And I said, is there any way I can get your autograph? Yes. And you said, well, of course. And I said, well, it's for my mother. And you said, well, why is it that every time that a young lady sits down next to me and asks for my autograph, it tends to be for her mother?
It's actually up to grandmother now. And
yeah.
So we still have the autograph here.
That's it, huh?
Talk about hoarding.
To, what does that say? To Lolly?
Loey.
Oh, to Loey. This is my very own bar napkin. Yours, Michael Feldman. We're back to the bar napkins with... See, I'm telling you, I'm not lying even. Because usually I take those home.
I treasure this because she thought of me while she was in a bar, so I knew she was making the right decision.
This weird guy next to her, it was a good move. It was a very good move.
That's why I've always kept it, because she thought of me in a different...
And I bet I didn't even buy you a drink or offer, did I?
You did.
I did! What a guy! To be many years ago. Nice to have you back here.
Nice to see you.
Okay, I'll get you another napkin before you go back. And what is it about Eau Claire being a funny place to live?
It's just a really friendly, lovely place. And we make strange news.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You need a place like that.
We do. Yeah. We have a confluence going on, two people that the arts are going to be a go-to place for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Eau Claire is?
Yes.
Well, I saw they got an art trailer. They have an Airstream trailer. And it's to promote Eau Claire. Have you seen that?
No, I have not. Yeah. No?
Check it out. Check it out. Okay. That's a boondoggle, but someone got an Airstream out of it. Okay, Amy Newton, retired teacher. How are you? Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
You have one of the original T-shirts, you know that? What do you know, purple?
I do. It's from 1986.
Yeah, and you know it's worth absolutely nothing.
Well, that's not where I wore it.
Well, you keep it in very good condition, though.
But I didn't think it would still fit me, but it does.
Yeah, no, it does. Looks good on you. Retired teacher, what did you teach?
Whatever. I did. I was a contract teacher for visually impaired kids, so I taught math and social studies and science. And
did you actually know all the things you were teaching, or did you make up a lot of stuff?
No, I knew it because they were elementary kids.
That much you knew, right?
Yeah. She's a teacher, too, and so is my niece. Yeah.
Would you rather I talk to them about teaching?
Well, I don't know.
I kind of like talking to you. All right, the question here says, would you ever read for books on tape because your voice is so animated? Did you write that?
Well, I didn't write it, but I...
Did you utter those words?
Yes. I think you have a good, pleasant reading voice. Yeah. Yeah.
I slur a lot, and I make a lot of mistakes, and I use wrong pronunciations. I'm known for it.
They go through stuff first, and they say, I'm with you. And so if you say, oh, how do you pronounce this word? And they tell you. But you just have a pleasant, comical reading voice.
I would like to do like Shades of Grey or something like that. Because I think I got a good voice for that. Because
I don't know about that.
Oh, Reddit then, have we?
Huh?
Reddit?
No. Oh. They told me the person that read it did a wonderful job, though.
Oh, yeah, I could do a good job on that one. Put a little Feldman in there. 50 Shades of Feldman. I think it'd be a much different book. Be a shorter book, I'll tell you that. There wouldn't necessarily be 5 Shades of Feldman. Nice to meet you, though.
Yeah, thanks. It's my birthday today. I'm 56.
Oh, it's your birthday! Well, lucky you, because we've got something for your birthday, Amy.
We do. Make any occasion a true celebration with a bottle of crisp, fresh, semi-dry prairie...
Wait a minute, what is it? Fresh and semi-dry?
Fresh and semi-dry prairie fumé wine. Bursting with citrus.
Prairie fumé means smelly prairie.
Bursting with citrus and tropical fruit highlights from the Wollersheim Winery.
And many wishes and happy returns. We're going to... was that a horn I heard? Was that okay? That means that half is over or something. I don't know what that means. That horn goes off, but I'm supposed to do something. Time for a quiz again?
It is.
Oh, time flies. It seems like we just had a quiz. Ava, you want to do it again? Because no one else is volunteering. Come on, young man. Step right up over here. Because you are the future. You and Ava, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing great.
Hey, what's your name?
Joseph.
Joseph. You spell it with an F or a PH?
No, Y-O-S-E-F. Yosef. What? Yosef.
Oh, Yosef. We call it Yosef or Yosala.
Yeah, because I'm Jewish and I guess from the Torah, so that's what my parents call me.
So you're Jewish and you're Yosef. You're Joseph, it would be Joseph, but if you're Jewish, it's Yosef.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Yosef. Yosala, how you doing?
Great, I guess.
And you going to school now or what?
Yeah, I'm going to school. I'm in sixth grade. So.
Fifth grade?
Sixth grade? Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. All right, give me one good reason, Yosef, that you would like to play this quiz.
Because every time I go to, like, BWC's my dad and stuff, I do the trivia thing, and it's so fun.
Yeah, you're good at it.
Okay.
Let's do it, then. Yosala, come on. Come on out of here. Come on. Encouragement. Because we all need it. Have a seat there, Yosef. There was a Yosef in my Hebrew school class.
Oh, really?
I didn't like him, but he's not here. I didn't like anybody in my Hebrew school class. I don't know. I don't know. Why is there Hebrew school? What are you gonna? It's a dead language. I never saw Yosef. How do you spell it? Y-O-S-E-F?
Yeah, Y-O-S-E-F.
Y-O-S-E-F?
Yeah.
Well, that's the modern spelling. That's cool. That's cool. So what do you like in sixth grade so far?
I really like social studies because we're learning about, like early hominids, and it's really fun.
Early hominids?
Yeah. Like,
are there any late hominids? I don't think so. I think they're all early hominids.
Yeah. And we're also
transitional to humans things, right?
It's kind of weird to look at them, and everyone's like so creeped out by them. It's really funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoy the early hominids. They weren't so great once they actually became human. I thought they were less amusing. Which hominid? You said that ones they discovered in South Africa? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, the new ones. There's a girl in our class who knows someone like that, and it's really it's really weird that she knows it, and we're all like, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing that we'll learn about, and it's really cool.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a guy from UW who was on that whole thing.
Oh, really?
They went down there and discovered this cache of an unknown human, what do you call it before a human? A hominid, I guess. These people are almost human, but they've never been seen before, and they found a whole bunch of them. So it's pretty exciting stuff. So do you think you're going to go into something like that? Anthropology?
I don't know. I'm more of a sports guy.
Sports anthropology you go into. That's a new field. That's an old field, actually. It would be anthropology, I guess. So what's your sport?
Hockey and baseball.
Hockey and baseball simultaneously at the same time?
Oh, I wish. No, but baseball in the summer and hockey in the winter, so it's
really in hockey. What do you play in hockey?
Like defense, but I'm more of a forward, I'd say.
You're more of a forward, but on defense.
Mm.
Okay. Can you be a forward on defense or a defensive forward?
Yes, I guess I can do that, but I'm pretty sure coach would be yelling at me a lot. So
yeah. Do you slap a pretty good puck?
Oh yeah, I'd say so. I'm not as good as some of my friends, but I say I'm okay.
Yeah, Madison is a tremendous hockey town, isn't it?
Huh?
Madison.
Oh.
You're from Madison, right?
Yeah. I live in Madison, but I'm from Milwaukee, so it's really...
Okay. But, I mean, see, little kids playing hockey on the lakes around. It's amazing what a hockey town it is.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Cool. Think you'd like to be a hockey player? Or?
No, I do not want to get beat up.
How about a hockey-playing anthropologist?
That would make me a lot of money, though, so...
I don't know. From one or the other, maybe from the hockey or from the anthropology.
Hockey.
Oh, well, that's great. Very nice to have you here. You actually listen to the show?
Yeah, I listened to it before. And my cousin Noah is probably listening now. I just wanted to give him a little shout-out, I guess. But
hey, Noah. It's very biblical this morning. Here we have Noah and Joseph.
Yosef.
Yes, I know, but I was saying. Now. So, Yosef, someone there plays along with you. And how does that work, Stephanie?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800.
What do you mean, if?
If?
If people want to play the quiz.
Oh, Right. Everyone wants to play the quiz. Is that what you're implying?
I'm saying the if is a little, you know.
Oh, okay. We'll workshop that. So they'll dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
We never
question.
Workshopped anything on this show.
Or well, it's a new era now.
Is that you do workshopping in your real job, right? Do you workshop things?
No.
What does that even mean? It scared me when you said that. What did you say? We're starting? Yeah, okay, fine. You scared me. Workshopping. It's a scary thing. All right. Property listings on Saturn's moon and Enceladus all mention ocean frontage. Question is, how come? Let me try this again. Property listings on Saturn's moon Enceladus all mention ocean frontage. Right in my... Now I got to do it again. Property listings on Saturn's moon Enceladus are all mention ocean frontage. How come? Okay, let's go to the phones right now. And Larry's on the phone from Norman, Oklahoma. Hey, Larry.
Hello.
How's things?
Okay.
What are you doing today, later? Anything?
Well, I'm getting ready to wash my windows.
How exciting for
while
you.
While listening to This American Life.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's a great way to wash your windows.
You should do one or the other.
I can do both.
I don't think so. Not and do a good window.
Sure.
It's hard to concentrate when all that fascinating stuff is going on. Hey, Larry.
Ira Glass is an inspiration.
He is. And windows are glass as well. So it's a perfect confluence.
That's the idea.
Of two uses of glass.
Exactly.
Property listings on Saturn's moon Enceladus, not to change the subject, all mention ocean frontage. How come?
Because it's all water.
Okay, Larry, we'll accept that.
Okay.
Because you're right. Larry. Larry, what do you do out there at Norman when you're not washing windows?
I work at the Gaylord College of Journalism and Mass Communications at the University of Oklahoma.
God, the letterhead must run two pages.
It does. Alone. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And what do you do there exactly?
I'm the advisor of graduate students. We have a Master of Arts, Master of Professional Writing, and Doctor of Philosophy degrees. So you want to get your MA? Come on out.
Not bad for a window washer, really.
Yeah.
You've gotten very successful with that window washing. Larry, this is Yosef.
Hi, Yosef.
He's your pal here, and you work together, you collaborate, and he's probably, once again, about as smart as ever going to be in his life right
That's
now.
That's great. I think we've
at this age. What, how old are you?
11.
11 is it. The cutoff. You're smart. Not that you won't. You'll probably go on from there, but 11 is the age to be. You work together, and then we have various categories, don't we, Stephanie? Stop me if I'm wrong.
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Larry, you pick first one. What would you like?
Okay, I think we stall long enough that Michael's going to have to turn over all the cards, but let's say things you should have learned in school.
All right. Things you should have learned in school. The only difference between a frog and a toad, is what? There's really only one difference, but they live in different places a lot of times, you know.
So I think it's one of them is lives like mostly in water, and one of them mostly lives on land, but I'm not sure.
But I mean physical difference.
Oh.
If I was holding up a frog in one hand and a toad in the other, what would be the only difference physically between them?
I think frogs live in the water.
No. You're missing. That's just what Yosef
said. I'm going to guess it's webbed feet. What do you think, Yosef?
Yeah, let's go with that.
I don't know. Do they have webbed feet, too? Do toads have webbed feet? Anyone know?
No, they don't.
They don't? Oh, I guess that's right, then. Congratulations.
It's Larry.
Frogs have teeth is what I have here, but I don't even think that's true. They got a little ridge in there, but it's not really like human teeth. So I'll take your answer. That's good.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Yes, sir.
Let's go with current events.
Current events right out of the news. Okay, when you come to a fork in the road, finish it. What is the end of that sentence?
You're a sports fan, Yosef. You should know.
When you come to a fork in the road, Yogi Berra, who died at age 90 on September 22nd, the great Yogi Berra,
you said, take when, it.
Oh, man.
What's that?
You take it.
You take it. You come to a fork in the road, you take it.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry. I need that.
All right. Let me...
That's two right, and okay. The remaining categories are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Larry.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All right. Rotten coconut is the smell you get when you crush one of the following. Is it a ladybug, a house ant, or a cicada?
Cicada?
Or a house ant or a ladybug. Talk it over now with Larry. You don't have to take this alone. Come on.
I'm going to go with cicada, I guess.
Or a house ant or a... Is that a house ant or a horse ant? I can't read my own writing.
Let's
say an ant.
Mashed.
Cicada, some ant.
Maybe ant.
Or a ladybug. Ant? You see any ant now? Larry?
What do you think about the ant?
You're thinking the house ant?
Mm-hmm.
Or the horse ant?
Ant, whatever.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
The house ant. Smells like rotten coconut. Congratulations. Where's my bell? I just noticed my bell is
right there.
No, but I had a little one. Okay. Come on. Come on.
Joseph, Wild Game brats, red potatoes, and salmon will all taste better with a bottle of Mustard Girl Zesty Horseradish Mustard, made in Wisconsin and gluten-free from Mustard Girl.
It's kosher for Passover.
Larry, for the lyrics to Barney Google with the Googly Eyes and Unbridled Feldmonic Adventure Tales, you've won Michael Feldman's Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, including the CD My Life, the Musical from Terrace Books.
Awesome. After decades of listening.
Both of you will have brain-teasing pleasure beyond the quiz with the Green Book of Crosswords, the Wonder Word Treasury number 38, and a year's membership in the Puzzle Society from Universal UCLIC. And before the 30-year anniversary mark, there was The First 25 Are the Hardest, a CD compilation of a quarter century of What Do You Know highlights with cover art by Nora Feldman. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
That's it, my man.
Thank you.
Good luck in everything you do.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Eugene Merman and Andy Kindler. This is Stephanie Lee, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.